Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. Many of you that have received Jesus have a deep burden for your family and friends that do not yet believe in Him. We are blessed to be able to help you reach those dearest to you. Invite them to watch our broadcast and my dad, Pastor Salem's messages. We are so appreciative of the many ways you communicate with us each week. Sending letters, through our website, calling us, and on our Facebook page. From Facebook, what a blessing to hear the gospel message of Jesus from the Bible preached by Pastor Salem. Even a child can understand the message of salvation, and the only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope you will be uplifted by today's message. Will we know our loved ones in heaven? God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we really have a great service today because we're going to be talking about the question, will we know our loved ones in heaven? And I don't know how many people have asked me that question. So we're going to look at our scriptures today and see what God says. And we're going to find out, you bet we'll know our loved ones in heaven. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to preach two sermons on heaven. Not today, we're going to do one today. And then next week, I'm going to have a sermon, what is heaven really like? What does the Bible tell us about heaven? So tell your friends to tune us in. And I know God will bless you and you'll get a blessing from it. So we're looking at Psalm 18 today, the opening verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us. Thank you for helping us day by day. And not a thing happens to us but what you've allowed it, and you've allowed it for a reason. And so we can just lean on you and know that you'll help us and guide us. And Lord, we thank you that we have heaven to look forward to when we receive Jesus and we become his child. We have heaven to look forward to. So bless us today as we think about heaven, that wonderful, wonderful land where we have so many loved ones. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa has a song, In Paradise With You. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
It happened in fall, the day you died. You left me alone without a goodbye. I try to be strong just for you, but the truth is life will never be the same until the with you. I wait for the spring to sit by your grave. I know you're not there, but I talk anyway. Another day spent missing you. 'cause the truth is life will never be the same. Until the day Jesus leads me to you, I dream of walking hand in hand down streets made of gold. When I see God's face and His beautiful heaven, finally all will be well in paradise with you. All will be well in paradise with you.
Well, thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And won't that be something when we're in heaven and we get to see our loved ones and walk down those streets of gold, and we'll get to see the Lord Jesus and we'll see the angels and, oh, my goodness. And just think of so many loved ones we have over there already, and they're right in the middle of it, and they know all about it, and we don't know hardly anything about it. But we know something about it because you tell us in the Bible. And so we're going to look at that today. Will we know our loved ones in heaven? But first of all, we want to read some of the letters. And I just want to thank you for writing. We appreciate it. We read every letter. And if it's a spiritual question you've got, well, then we'll just answer that the best we can from the Scriptures. And sometimes you get questions and they don't pertain to anything spiritual. So I said, just check the encyclopedia, because we'll just spend our time on things spiritual. Well, in just a moment, we're going to read from Luke chapter 24, if you want to locate that. But let's just look at some of these letters. This one is from Fountain, Florida. Dear Christian Worship Hour, we're now enjoying your program on Daystar. Several years ago, we lost a son-in-law and father of one of our grandchildren to suicide. On your past telecast, we heard a mention of scriptural proof of heaven for suicide victims. Do you have a pamphlet or booklet to help us with this tragedy? Thank you for addressing this subject. I don't think any member of our family has been able to put this behind us, especially our daughter. We hope your ministry can shine some light on the subject. Well, we have a little booklet. It's about, I think, 14 pages, all from the Bible. And if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus and commit suicide, your sins will be forgiven. You can go to heaven. But we have to be careful that we don't really give the impression that we should just commit suicide and go to be with the Lord, because God has given us a certain number of days to work for Him. And it's a great sin if we take our life. It's covered in the blood of Jesus. But why sin if you know it's wrong? Why do you do it? Don't do it. And so you just love the Lord and serve Him. And when our work is done, He'll take us home. Somebody told me that I wouldn't have to go home till my work was all done. Well, the way I work, I think I'll probably live forever, because I don't know if I'll ever get done. But I'll go, He says, stop. And when He stops, you know what? I'll stop. Now here's a letter from Lebanon, Missouri. Enclosed is a check. I enjoy the Christian Worship Hour so much. There are a lot of us that watch, and we call each other and see if the other watches. So many of us seniors and shut-ins can't go to church. Keep up the good work. We all pray for your services, and God bless you. We all love you. And so you'd be surprised at the number of people we hear, maybe across the United States, and they'll listen to the service of that day, and then they'll check with each other and talk about it. And then it's a time to get together and talk about something and maybe share some spiritual truth that was revealed to them or called to their attention. And so, yeah, we hear a lot of people that are getting together like that. Here is one that says, now listen to this one, Orange, California. I really enjoy your program, and when I go to bed, I watch your devotional on my phone. Hearing the Word of God right before sleep is a great way to end the day. Now, isn't that nice? Just take that telephone to bed with you. Well, I don't know what you'd want it in bed with you for, but whatever you want to do, you know, just so if you're happy, we're happy. Here's La Grande, Oregon. Thank you for your booklet, Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? It was such a comfort to my daughter and I when my grandson took his life earlier this year. Thank you also for your prayers and caring. And that's the reason that I wrote this little booklet, is because it'll give you comfort. If your loved one knew Jesus, if they accepted Jesus, not know about him, not, that doesn't count, because the devil knows about him. But if you ask him into your heart, just, "Dear Jesus, just please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins, and I promise I'll serve you the best I can. I'll join your team, and I'll serve you the best I can." That's repentance. Jesus said to repent, to turn. And so you ask Jesus into your heart, just tell him you'll give him your life, and then thank him, and then tell somebody. And if you make that prayer, you're born again, and you are a Christian, and you'll go to heaven no matter what. So that's the good news. I just love to preach that, because it includes everybody. God so loved the world that whosoever believeth, whosoever, that's everybody, no exceptions. Well, here's one from Bronson, Iowa. "Thank you all at the Christian Worship Hour for your dedication in making the services possible. I look forward to the service every week. You help me to keep my faith and continually learn about it. I'm one of those gray heads. Take care." And see, here this lady is getting help because it's the Bible. When you use the Bible, when you use the Word of God, people are going to be helped. And they're going to grow, and they're going to be comforted, and they're going to be strengthened, and they're going to be challenged, and they're going to be encouraged. God takes His Word, and the Holy Spirit picks it up, and He ministers it to everybody. And we're all over the world, and there's no way of knowing what your need is. Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need. He'll minister to you. And if we just preach the Word, and anybody can do that, a parrot could do it, I guess, but you just preach the Word, and the Holy Spirit picks it up and flings it all over the world and touches hearts everywhere. It is so exciting and thrilling. Here is Sioux Falls, South Dakota, our neighbor to the south. "My dad enjoyed watching your program while at home and during his time in the nursing home. He was encouraged. When the program was on, nurses would stop by and listen. At the age of 96, he has now passed on. Many blessings to all of you." And so we hear from a lot of people in nursing homes and hospitals and all. And the Word of God, just isn't that nice? It can go anywhere, all over the world, and maybe into them tents, and maybe into cottages, and maybe into caves. And God knows, only God knows. But that's the same Word of God that blesses and helps and directs. Well, let's see. Lamar's, Iowa. Oh, I have to read this one. "I'm enjoying your newsletter, and of course, every hour spent on my TV for Pastor Salem's sermons. I am 103 years old and am thankful to be still, to be in God's great world in Christian love." I am really jealous of this. This is a lady, 103, and here she is. She's 5 years older than I am, if that isn't disgusting. But God knows, God numbers days for all of us, and some have 70, some have more, some have less, but it's all God. He knows when you are conceived. He knows the minute you're conceived, and He has that marked down. He knows that time, and He has the time for us to go home or to leave this world. And we say home because we're talking to Christians, but if you don't know the Lord, oh my God. What does the Bible say? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. You need Jesus. You ask Him into your heart. Do it right now. And then one more I want to share. Beech Grove, Indiana. "We watch you in Indianapolis and appreciate you and all of your team. We were active in pastoral and chaplain ministries 40-some years. Now both of us are late 70s and 80s. Thank you for all you do." I'm always so thrilled when I hear from people who have been serving the Lord, given their whole life to the Lord, fellow pastors and missionaries and workers. And here's these folks now. They were serving the Lord all these years. Now they have to back down, slow down. But I'll bet wherever they are, I'll bet they're witnessing for the Lord. God bless them. Well, so many good letters. And so we know God is, he's working because it's his Bible. It's his word. And so, but we need your help. It still costs us, you know. The gospel is free, but you have to pay. You know, it's like one fella says, the water's free, but you got to pay for the plumbing. And so somebody's got to get it out. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And so it costs something to, you know, if he could have had an angel come. Angels don't eat and they don't take any room up and they wouldn't cost anything. But nope, God says, I want the redeemed, not the angels. I want those who've been born again, those who know what it's like to be a poor lost sinner and find the joy of salvation. And boy, I found it when I was 10 years old. And I don't know why I didn't have any big sins, but I disobeyed mother. I don't know what all I did. Can't remember, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew that. The Holy Spirit told me that. And I accepted the Lord the first time I heard it because my mother had me already. She had told all about Jesus as Savior, and he loved me, and he wanted to save me. And he said, and when I had that chance, came the first thing. Well, it costs us to do that. And so we need your help. And so you need to write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can send it over the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And you can send it by PayPal. On there, it'll say donate, and then it'll say PayPal. And from anywhere in the world, you can send it. And we'll get it in American money, and we can pay our debts and pay our bills. And you know, I shouldn't say debts, because we pay every bill on time. God has provided for almost 38 years. And there's never been a time he couldn't pay our bills. God has been so good. So you just ask God what he wants you to do and help us out. And then we have a little paper we put out called the New Song. And it's free, and we send it out every month. And you will just love it, I know, because every month we have a different Bible study. And this month, our little Bible study is on blessings we have in Jesus. Blessings that we have in Jesus. And they also have the sermon topics, and they have the text. You can read the text and study the sermon, see if I'm on base when I'm preaching or if I'm making up something. You wouldn't know, but if you got the scripture, boy, I have to watch out what I'm doing. And so you just write to us. We just love to hear from you. Now, I want to say something about what your gift. You know, sometimes people write and they says, well, we don't know where it goes and how do we know where it goes? And I'm going to tell you, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check our books, and not only what we get in, but how we spend it. And we're clean as a hound's tooth, so you can count on that. So you help us. There's the address on the screen there, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Now, while you're praying and giving, Jan is going to play for us. And God bless you, Jan. Let's just have a prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who have stood by all these years. A lot of these people are already in glory, already received their reward. They sent their treasure ahead. And now all the time, Lord, you just always raise up new people, new ones here, new ones there. And we carry on and even expand. And so we thank you for every gift and every giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Thank you for helping us in our service and ministering to people all over the world. What a joy it is that we can tell the good news all over the world by radio, shortwave radio, and television. We just rejoice in that. Our scripture lesson today is Luke chapter 24. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe. And every week we pray for somebody in some part of the world. And so when we pray, of course, all of you will pray. And just think, all the world is praying for Zimbabwe or Africa or wherever, Iraq or whatever it is. The whole Christian world is praying for that one spot, that one country, those people. And there's power in prayer. We won't know till we see, get to glory, and then we'll know. Now, our scripture lesson is Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 27. And this is after the resurrection, and the disciples think that Jesus is dead, and they've seen him crucified, and two of them are walking to a little town called Emmaus. And while they're walking along, Jesus comes and joins them and talks to them. And he has their eyes so that they don't realize who he is, because he wants to minister to them, and then he'll reveal himself. So this is the way it goes. And so Jesus is starting to talk to these two men. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat that with them, that he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And oh, dear Heavenly Father, isn't that a beautiful story? Here these two men were going back home from Jerusalem. They're going to their little village in Emmaus, and their heart is broken, and they're all discouraged because they think Jesus is in the tomb. But Jesus isn't in the tomb. The third day he was raised from the grave, just as he said. And now he's coming to them, and he talks to them. And when they find out that it's the risen Christ, they're filled with joy, and they rush back to Jerusalem to tell the other Christians, "He is risen, Christ is risen." That's what we preach, and oh, we thank you for that. And so, Heavenly Father, we just pray today that as we have this service, that you'll help us to see the risen Christ, and you'll help us to see all the blessings we have in you. And one of those blessings is seeing and knowing our loved ones. And we thank you for that, dear Jesus. And so now we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe. And so all over the world, Lord, more Christians were put to death in this last year, 2015, than in any other time they have in history. And oh, God, we just pray that you'll help them to stand true and help us to take a lesson from them and stand true to you and never deny you. And maybe we're among some of the people at business and they don't like you or they make fun of you. And help us to stand up for you. That's we're at least not losing our head as some did. And so we pray for the families left behind and pray that you'll have your way and that you'll give them the martyr's crown and someday we'll meet them and talk to them. So now bless us, dear Lord, and have your way in all that's done and said. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And before my message, Barb has a song, and it is, "This World Is Not My Home," and that is exactly right. God bless you, Barb.
Thank you.
this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? I made it right with Jesus so many years ago. The songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?
Thanks, Barb. God bless you, and that is exactly right. This world isn't our home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. We're on our way to glory, and someday we're going to get there. And oh, I know every one of you, unless maybe you're 5 years old, you'll have a loved one in heaven, and you'll want to see them, and you say, well, will I know my loved ones in heaven? And so let's look at what the Bible has to say. First of all, we want to notice very plainly that there is a heaven. And Jesus told us, he says, I go to prepare a place for you in John 14, verse 2. And so I'm going to prepare this place for you. It's a place called heaven. Paul talked about it in Philippians 1, verse 23. He says, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. And he's just saying it's better to be with the Lord in heaven than is it here on earth. And then he goes on, Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this is what he says. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And so he's just saying, the moment I'm absent from this body, I'm at home with the Lord. I just got a letter just the other day, and they're talking about soul sleep. People teaching soul sleep. They didn't get out of the Bible. It talks about the body sleeping, but never the spirit and the soul. Because the moment we die, it simply means the spirit and soul leaves the body. And if you want to say it, that body's resting in the grave there. It's sleeping in the grave, but that spirit and soul never lost consciousness for a second. And that's what he says, absent from the body, at home with the Lord. Jesus, what did Jesus tell the dying thief on the cross? He says, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. He didn't say you're going to be in the grave for a while and then you can come forth, or when the trumpet sounds, you can come. He says, today, you're with me in heaven, in paradise. See? And so Spurgeon talked about that, and he illustrated it so well. He said, we measure distance by time. We are not to say that a certain place is so many hours from us. And he says, if it is 100 miles off and there is no railroad, we think it is a long way. If there's a railroad, we think we can be there in no time. And this is what he says, but we But how near must we say heaven is? For it is just one sigh and we get there. It's exactly right. Use that last breath you take on earth, the next breath is in heaven, within the presence of the Lord. So heaven is an actual, literal place. It's a place where God dwells. It's a place of a family. It's a place of the redeemed. And so then comes the question, yes, I believe all that, but will we know our loved ones when we get to heaven? Well, I want to look at this and just give you 9 reasons from the Bible that I believe we can, that teaches that, we will going to know our loved ones in heaven. 9 reasons. The first one is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene recognized Jesus in his glorified body, didn't she? There's no question about it. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, God tells us, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, Jesus. We're going to be like Jesus. And then in Philippians 3:21, it says, who shall change this vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. In other words, the Bible is teaching us that our resurrected body is going to be like the resurrected body of the Lord. Our resurrected body is going to be like the resurrected body of the Lord. And so we can recognize Jesus in the tomorrow in his resurrected body because Mary did. And so we will also know, and we'll know our loved ones because they'll be in a resurrected body just like Jesus. We can ask, will people know we knew before his resurrection, know him after the resurrection? Of course we will. See, that's what happened with Mary Magdalene in John's Gospel, chapter 20. Mary's at the sepulcher and she's weeping. And she looks into the tomb and she sees the angels and they talk to her and then she turns away. And through her tears and only partially turned, because in verse 16 it tells us she turned herself, she saw partially a person behind her. She assumed that that was the gardener. But it was not the gardener, it was the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And Jesus speaks to her in one word and he says, Mary. And she responds immediately, Rabboni, that is to mean teacher. She recognized him and knew him. So here Jesus is in his resurrected body. And when Mary sees him, she recognizes him and knows him in that resurrected body. The same will be true when we see our loved ones in heaven. We will understand them, we'll see them and know them just like Mary knew Jesus. We'll know every last one of them. The second picture we look at is Cleopas and his companion on the way to Emmaus, where we just read that scripture for our scripture. And this talks about how Jesus walks with them. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verse 16, Jesus talks about them, and their eyes were holden so they should not know him. The New International Version has it. They were kept from recognizing him. So here's the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and he's walking with these 2 disciples from Emmaus. And he fixes it, he puts it so they don't understand him, they don't recognize him. He puts something over their eyes. And why did he do that? Because he has a message for them. And he wants to give them this message. And after he has given the message, then he's going to open their eyes and they can see. And the moment Jesus opened their eyes, they recognized him in a second. Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, they knew him. He was dead, he's raised, and they understand him. After death, they see him and know him. Another illustration is Paul's admonition to the Thessalonian Christians, and it implies the recognition of loved ones in the next world. Here's a story. The people at Thessalonica, they were new Christians. They didn't have the Bible like we have it. They didn't have any of the Bible. They had parts of it we would call letters that these apostles would write to them. But they didn't have the whole story. And they felt that when their Christian brothers and sisters died, they would never see them again. They didn't know about the resurrection. They didn't know about this coming of the Lord. They thought that was the end of everything. And so we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 18, Paul says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Jesus is going to come. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, that's those Christians that died. And dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then this is what he says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In other words, Paul tells these believers about the resurrection, meeting Christ, and he says there's going to be comfort there. What's the comfort? It's seeing Jesus in the resurrected Christ and seeing all of our loved ones and knowing them. If we're raised up and we don't know anybody and a bunch of strangers, what comfort is there in that? But when we see them and know them and are with them, it surely implies that we know what's going on. Why, this is a wonderful picture that the comfort comes and when Jesus comes again and he raises us up and we know all of these, know each other, and we know the people we've never seen and never met. We'll get to that in just a minute or two. And so there's the resurrection of the dead. We're going to know them and see them, and we'll see them and we'll know them as our brothers and sisters, we're just as plain as day. And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, we have the incident illustrating the fact that we'll know our loved ones in heaven. You remember the story of the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and they went up to the mount to worship. And when on that mountain, there they see Moses and Elijah. And Peter, James, and John know Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses lived 1,500 years before these three men were born. Elijah lived at least 900 years, maybe 1,000 years, before they had never seen them. They've only heard about them. But when they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, they immediately recognize Moses and Elijah. They knew them after death. And so this incident would judge. We will know all the saints of all the ages, Adam and Eve and Moses, and we'll know Moses and Elijah and Rachel and David, and you name any of the Old Testament saints. We'll know them all, and we'll be with all of them, and we'll know them and understand them. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus, I think God is teaching us here that we will know people we've never seen. We'll know all the apostles. We'll know every saint of all of the ages. And it'll be in a wonderful, wonderful way that God revealed that to us. You see, but as you know, while we're at it, there's a scripture that kind of teaches that in the place of torment, in the place of hell, people will know each other. And for instance, in Luke 13, verse 28, Jesus says, this is what Jesus says, "There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out." And so they, after death, they could see, they could understand, they could know, even the unbelievers. But we're talking about Christians, people who know the Lord, if we know Jesus Christ. And that is the key to it. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus, with the dear Lord Jesus. You have to receive him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God until you receive Jesus. And you say, "I don't know how to receive him." How do you receive anybody? You just say, "Come into my home. Come into my car. Come into my life, dear Jesus." You receive him, but you have to ask him in. He is not a trespasser. He's not going to knock doors down. He'll knock at the door, but you have to open it. And as somebody said, Holman Hunt has a picture of Christ knocking at the door. And when they was done, they said to Hunt, they said, "Well, that's a beautiful picture, but Jesus standing at the door, and there isn't a doorknob there." And Hunt said, told them, "That's because there's no doorknob on your heart. You have to open it from the inside. And if you don't do it, it'll never be done. And you need to come to Jesus." And when you do that, you have that wonderful hope of seeing Christ and being with him and seeing your loved ones again. But let's go on. We have in Luke chapter 16, the rich man remembered Lazarus. This is the fifth reason we're going to know these loved ones. the rich man remembered Lazarus after death. You all know the story of how the rich man had riches and the beggar had nothing, and he ate the crumbs and so forth. And then they found the rich man found himself in hell. Now, he didn't find himself in hell because he was rich. Don't get that idea. And Lazarus didn't find himself in heaven because he was poor. It's because one believed and one didn't. That's the key. That's always the key. And after Lazarus, after death, he talks about Abraham. Now, or the rich man talks about Abraham. Dives talks about Abraham. Why, Abraham lived 2,000 years earlier. How did he know Abraham? Because after death, we know these people. God makes it so we understand them, we can see them and tell who they are. The rich man, you see, and this is just recently in the next world, because the rich man still has brothers on the other side, still brothers on earth. They're getting his funeral ready. And he's in this place of torment. And so he's talking, he remembers his brothers. He has that memory, that always have that memory. And so he's seeing Abraham, and he says, though, he asks Abraham, he talks about Abraham, and he talks to Lazarus. And I'm going to tell you, the rich man and Abraham communicated with each other, even though a wide gulf separated them. And it is a case that heaven knew they could communicate with each other. They could talk at that time when we get to the real heaven, because that was in the center of the earth. And at the resurrection of Christ, all of those in the place of bliss in the heart of the earth was taken into glory into heaven. We won't have a gulf between us and those who suffer. That was until Jesus suffered, shed his blood, because no person could go to heaven in the Old Testament because their blood was covered with blood of bulls and goats, and their sins were covered, but it was then never washed away, only covered. And when Jesus died, he washed away all the sins of all the Old Testament believers, and then they sent, for the heart of the earth ascended into heaven and at the right hand of God, and where they are today. Oh, it's a glorious thing. But here, the point I want to make today is, here's a man, this Dives, he had never met Abraham, and he knew who he was. I read this story not long ago about Martin Luther the night before he died. And he was reasonably well, and they were having a discussion around the dinner table that night. And the matter of their discourse was whether we would know one another in heaven or not. And Luther held it affirmatively. He said, yes, in course we will. And I'll tell you the reason he gave. He said that Adam, as soon as he saw Eve, knew who she was. Not by discourse or discussion, but by divine revelation. He had never seen Eve. And the moment he saw her, he knew her and called her Eve. And it's because God revealed it to him. That's Martin Luther. And that's what I think, too, that God is going to reveal it to us so we will know all of our loved ones and all of the saints of all of the ages when we get into glory. I can't hardly wait. And then the sixth reason that we will know our loved ones in heaven is because King David expected to know his son in the next world. David, upon learning that his infant son had died, said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. 2 Samuel 12, verse 23. David looked forward to seeing and knowing his son in heaven. I'm going to see my son and know my little boy in heaven, but I'll never see him on this earth. So David knew. God helped David to know. You'll know your son when you're in glory. And then the seventh reason is we will know each other because we surely won't know less than we do than we do now. We won't be worse off now. We'll know more then than we do now. And I've used that illustration of the little old lady, and they ask her if she'd know her loved ones in heaven. And she says, of course I will. Do you think I'm going to be dumber in heaven than I am on earth? There's a lot of truth to that. We'll have a lot more revelation in heaven than we ever have on earth. W.A. Criswell, former pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, says, we won't really know each other until we get to heaven. We won't really know them until we get to heaven. We won't know less. We'll know much more. And St. Paul was referring to the very same thing. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. He says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, I know in part. But then I shall know even as I am known." In other words, we know each other. We see through a glass darkly now. But when we get to heaven, it'll be just a whole new day in the bright sunshine. Paul says in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, "I know in part, but I'll know even as I am known, and it'll be all revealed, and we'll know each other and love each other." Paul is saying, we know in part now, but our knowledge will be better in heaven than on earth. Now then, if we do not know our loved ones in heaven, it would mean that we know less in heaven than we did on earth. But in that is not the case. Just the opposite is true. In heaven, we will know more, much more than we ever will know on earth. Jesus pictured the joy of heaven in likening it at a banquet, at a great banquet table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in perfect fellowship and close friends of the loved ones, not as a group of sinners, but as a whole band of believers gathered together in heaven, having that great marriage feast of the Lamb, knowing each other. Will we know each other? Of course we'll know each other. 1 Corinthians 13 spells it out. We will know each other on earth in an imperfect way. When we get to heaven, we'll know them in a perfect way. The eighth reason we will know people after death is when King Saul knew the prophet Samuel after Samuel was dead. And he was brought back to life and brought back so he could see him. And he knew him and saw him. You remember the story. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 28. The Philistines had gathered to do battle against King Saul of Israel. And King Saul, because of his terrible sins, God had forsaken him and turned his face from him. And Saul, in desperation, in the eve of the battle, before they go to battle with the Philistines, he goes to the witch of Endor. And she asks him who he wants to see. He says, "I want to see Samuel, that great prophet who stood by Saul and loved Saul so much and would, but Saul wouldn't listen to the prophet." He said, "I want to see Samuel." And somehow by the power of the devil, that witch brought back Samuel, and he, Saul, knew Samuel after death. Here it is. "Be he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up and a spirit, and then the Holy Spirit shows him in some way we don't understand how he knew him and saw him." And then the ninth reason, Stephen saw Jesus in heaven and knew him, the resurrected Christ. Stephen was the first Christian martyr of the church, and here he is. He was about to die from stoning, and we read as he's dying, "And he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said," and Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." So Stephen knew Jesus when he saw him in heaven, and he knew him after death just as plain as day. God bless it. There can be no question, I don't think, that we can possibly think that we wouldn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're going to see him and we're going to know him. I read a little story the other day about a man, an old man. He was testifying in a prayer meeting in church. And he was said when he was a little boy, he pictured heaven as a beautiful city, high walls and domes and stories and turrets. And he said it was a beautiful place. And then as his days passed by, his little brother died. And the old man said, "I thought about heaven as a great city with walls and turrets and towers and domes, white-robed angels." But he said, "Then I saw one little face, and I did know he was my little brother." Then the old man said, as the years passed by, his mother died, his father died, his wife died, his children died. All of the family was gone. He was left alone. And he says, "Now when I think of heaven, I never think of it in terms of high walls and jasper places and white-robed angels. I think it's the dwelling place of my beloved ones, and I see my dear children and my loved ones again, and I know them, of course. And so, dear friends, that's what we have to look forward to, that wonderful day when God takes us out of this world. And won't that be wonderful? Paul writes, he says, comfort one another with these words. And just think of the wonderful day of reunion where that will be. Keep that in mind because it'll help you through the hard times and the difficult times and the despairing times. Just think of it when you step on a shore and find it to be heaven. Take hold of a hand and find it to be God's hand. Breathe new air and find it heavenly air. Feel invigorated and find it to be immortality. Pass from storm and tempest into an unbroken calm. Wake up and find it is home. Wonderful home. Oh, my friends, it's just a wonderful thing because you can have that same hope. You know, I just wonder how many of you are really ready to go. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you only find torment, and you'll be able to see many things of torture. I don't know what hell is like. Maybe it's solitary confinement, and you never see anybody forever. I don't know what it is. I know it's hell. And I know Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven, not because he enjoyed it, because he wanted to warn people, tell them not to take chances, tell them to turn or be burned, is what he's saying. Come to Jesus. So I wonder where you stand today. Do you know you're saved? You say, oh, nobody can know that. Oh, yes, you can. Because Jesus tells us in John 5:24, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting life. The moment you accept Jesus, you have it. You can know it. And hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, shall not go into hell, but shall have everlasting life. That wonderful saved John 5:24 is my favorite Bible verse. I didn't know what my favorite verse was for years and years, but in these last days, that's the verse that stands out. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You'll have eternal life. So what do? You just pray. Say, dear Jesus, I sinned against you, and God, and just Billy Graham says, if it's some horrible big sin that bothers you, name it. Tell Jesus. Don't tell me. Tell Jesus. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. And I ask you to forgive me and take away my sin. And I'll join your team. I'll follow you. I'll forsake this world and anything in my life that's wrong. I'll make you my king, my Lord. You just tell him you love him and you want to follow him. And when you get to know Jesus, you'll love him. It'll be automatic. And when you love him, you want to serve him and please him. And so you say that prayer. And then you thank him for saving your soul. And then you tell somebody what you did. And then you write to us. And we'll send you some literature. And we'll help you get started in the Christian life. You know, this Christian worship hour, we have three things in mind: to glorify God, to help people come to know Jesus, and to comfort God's people. That's our whole goal. And so you write to us, and we'll send you literature to help you. And maybe you want to send us a gift. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002-2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We need your help. We need your prayers. We need you to tell others about this service. And since someday we'll be in heaven and we'll know you. And I just can't wait to see some of you people that were way, I don't know where you're off in the jungle or somewhere. I don't know where you're at. And I'm going to see you. We're going to shake hands and we're going to talk and we're going to sing and we're going to thank Jesus together. And won't we have something? So now I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of those who are turning to you right now. Give them the assurance of salvation in your word. I pray for those who are in having hard times, the shut-ins, the sick, the lonely, the young people caught up in some terrible disease, or maybe they're into drugs or liquor, or maybe they're into pornography. God only knows. And I pray for them, but especially the older ones, Lord, that don't know which way to, they're just on their end, they're coming to the river, and help them to know that you are right there. You'll lead them all the way over, that you hold them in your hand, you'll carry them through. We just thank you, dear Jesus, for your great love. Loved us so much you died for us, was raised from the grave. Thank you, Jesus. In the Savior's name we pray, amen. So we pray for you, and we hope that you'll pray for us. And we have only, this is all we have in mind, is just to bring the wonderful word of God, the bread of life, the light of the world, into a dark world, and they'll find help and comfort. And you can help us by writing to us, or by praying for us, or by telling others. And always know that Jesus said he would never leave us or forsake us. We are never alone. Maybe we don't have anybody to come and see us, or maybe we're all by ourselves personally or physically, but Jesus is there. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And around us are the everlasting arms and the love of God. That's what we have when we have Jesus. We have everything when we have Jesus. Jesus loves you. And we love you. And God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll see you next week. And God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.